नमः भगवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 27 टेक्स्ट नंबर 28। माया निरूपितस्तुभ्यं पतिर आत्मा समाधिना नाभिनंदति लोकोयम् त्वाम अवद्राम सम्मताम मया निरूपितस्तुभ्यं पतिरात्मा समाधिना नाभिनन्दति लोकोयम् त्वामवद्रा असम्मताम्। Canto 4, Chapter 27, Text Number 28, Srimad Bhagavatam. Maya nirupita stubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhi nandati lokoyam swamabhadram asammatam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The King of the Yavanas replied, "After much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife?" The King of the Yavanas replied, "After much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife?" After much consideration, the King of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya was a bad bargain, and no one liked her, but everything can be used for the service of the Lord. So the King of the Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained. That is, Kalakanya as Jara, invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantakam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whatever this world is, we can use it in two ways. One is you can be optimistic or you can be pessimistic. Optimistic means hoping for good. Pessimistic means considering everything hopeless. But the who are optimistic? The devotees are optimistic or the karmis are optimistic? Actually, both are optimistic. But who will be successful or who is right? The karmis are optimistic, otherwise why they are working so hard? Why they are working so long? Why they don't want to mend their ways, change their ways? What is it the karmis find optimistic about this world? The fact is, nothing is auspicious here. That is a fact. But karmis, they don't see it like that. And they are trying to make happiness here. So the devotees are optimistic in enlightenment, and the karmis are optimistic in ignorance. So the way karmis are optimistic about that, devotees are pessimistic. Devotees are optimistic in another sense, but the way karmis are about that, devotees are very pessimistic. That means enlightened people, they don't agree that in a material sense anything is auspicious here. The Prabhupada gave a crude example so that it will register in the head of even a very dull man. So the example of dung, cow dung, or dung of an animal. So if you touch the dung of an animal, dung means stool, if you touch the stool of an animal, it is abominable. If you touch the stool of a cat, or you touch the stool of a dog, హరివల్ తలకాయ ఏందా లేదా ఎన్ని వాళ్ళు చెప్పాలా రూమ్ లో వదిలేసా ఫోన్ ఒకసారా రెండు సార్లే లేకపోతే రూమ్లో కూర్చో క్లాసుకు రాకుండా సో అడ్వైస్ ఏం డైలీ ఎస్ అ టెంపుల్ మేనేజర్ వైష్ డే బట్ ఇట్స్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ రూమ్లో వదిలేసరా ఏమో అది హరివల్ మిశ్రకాల తర్వాత అటెండ్ కదా కానీ రూమ్లో వదిలేదని తీసుకెళ్ళి అందుకే రూమ్లో మేమంతా రూమ్ అసలు టెంపుల్ రూమ్ అసలు సెల్ ఫోన్ అనేది తీసుకురా క్లాస్ అప్పుడు రూమ్లో వదిలేసురా వాట్ ఇట్ ఐసే యా ఇఫ్ సమ్వన్ టచెస్ ది the stool of a dog or a cat, you wash your hands immediately, is it? Because it is such a foul thing, bad thing. So you wash your hands. Not only you wash twice, thrice. No? Because it is very infectious also. Similarly, human stool also. But we know that in stool also some worms, there will be some infestation, some living entities, they live in the stool. జీవ స్థాన సర్వగత ది లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆర్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ప్లేస్ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎయిర్ వాటర్ ఆర్ స్టూల్ లైక్ ది బయాలజీ స్టూడెంట్ దే నో జనరలీ వితౌట్ ఎయిర్ ది లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ కెనాట్ లివ్ That is general rule, but the science has discovered that there are living entities which live in anaerobic. They die when there is aeration in the thrive when there is no air circulation. That means no situation is incompatible with life. That's why Bhagavad Gita says, Jiva Sarvasthanu Gatalo Gati. The living entities are everywhere. So in the stool also. So the living entities that live in stool, their nourishment is from the stool only. That's why they are living there. That is their food. Everyone has their food. So the worms in the stool, it is their food. So when the stool is wet, they thrive very well. And when the stool becomes dry, it is not conducive to life anymore. Just like when you don't have air, we feel like you go under the mines, you go deep in the ground. It is suffocating. You will be short of breath. Like you go in the high mountains, there also you will be short of breath. You go high in the air, there also you will be short of breath. So we are meant to live on land, terrestrial life. Terrain means land. So we are terrestrial and we are supported by land. So the worms in the stool, they flourish when the stool is wet and they all die when the stool becomes dry. So it is a worry and a problem for the worms whether the stool is wet or dry. But for a human being, whether it is dry or wet, the stool is abominable. Stool is bad. So similarly, for the devotees, the so-called good and bad of the world in a material sense. Now there is material good, there is material bad. Material good means things happening favorably. Suppose you are making more money, very auspicious for some people, and you are getting losses, inauspicious. And you are keeping good health, auspicious. Your health is going down. Your health is very bad. So it is inauspicious. You have to spend money, you have to take medicines, your body is inconvenienced. And you cannot be active like anyone else, so inauspicious. But for a devotee, you say ardham is anardham. For a devotee, if you're getting more money, there is risk. You know, in the story of Damodar Leela, the deliverance of the two sons of Kubera, Manigriva and Nalakuber. There Prabhupada gives long purport, the benefits of being a poor man. He says, being a rich man is not good. because this Nalakubera and Manigriva, they are sons of Kubera, very opulent people, and it made them very bad. Just like even in this world, you don't have to go back to many thousands of years of old story. The same facts holds good. As you look at the world, when people are very rich, very well-to-do, they may be very proud, and they may become very they may become very lavish and enjoying mood all the time, and they may be given to bad habits, wrong habits, and they may misuse the money to dominate others, hurt others, to do injustice to others. And because they are attached to the money, they are greedy, and they don't want to leave the money. Their next life is very much at risk. So these are all the anardhas, that excess money, money more than wanted, if it accumulates, if you are not a very sharp, cute person, the money may take you on a trip. So what is told in Bhagavatam is correct. In a rich man's house, you cannot enter just like that, because they are afraid. People may come to stab us. People may come to steal from us. If you don't have anything, if you don't have so much money, you don't have to worry about your security and safety, You go to ordinary homes. You don't find any bodyguards or any gunmen standing there. What do you steal from a hut? Nothing there, no? But you go to a big estate owners, big, big people. You cannot get inside. No? You have to take so much permission, investigation, things like that. So the saintly people, they want to bless everybody. So it is easy to approach poor people, because poor people are accessible. Rich people are busy, and they are with tight security. So it is not easy, because that fellow is a fool. The rich man inside, his intelligence is corrupted. So you'll send, a sadhu will send his visiting card. Dr. Sukadeva Swami wants to meet you. You'll think, what I have to do with a sadhu? I'm a businessman, and I want to meet people with whom I can do my business. Or with whom I may have something to do, because he has practically no interest in God. So when sadhu comes, he will say he has no time, please go. What can you do? You have to go away from there. So these are all disadvantages of having more money. You are cut off from reality. You cannot appreciate reality so easily, because you are so puffed up, you are so busy, you are so misled. On the other hand, if you are a poor man, you have nothing to be proud of, and your money is enough just to run your home. You cannot have any lavish sinful habits because you don't have your money to eat properly. So you cannot drink or smoke. And because you are a small man, you remain polite. You have to take some small job. So unless you are polite, who will take you in job? A poor man cannot be proud. Then people will just get lost. We don't want to hear. So a poor man is forced to be. Only a devotee can be equipoised in poverty and richness. The so-called poor man is not really a humble man. That is called forced humbleness. You give him some money and see what will happen. Then he will also become like that. Because that is the nature of this world. If you are not spiritually enlightened, money will make you puffed up. Money will make you bad. That's the nature of ahankar. So this way, if you can see, money is auspicious or inauspicious. Generally, it is inauspicious. That's why the Brahminical class, they voluntarily accept poverty. Like all of us, we can do good jobs. Now we don't have income, and we just have enough to stay and eat, and we are satisfied. Krishna is providing today. We hope Krishna will provide tomorrow. And too far we don't want to think, because we don't know what Krishna's plans are for us. Maybe Krishna may kick us out. So we don't have to plan too far. No? So one day at a time. So that is a devotee. So for him, and a devotee, if he is rich, generally money is inauspicious, but if you are a very strong, staunch, advanced devotee, and money may not be bad because you know how to use the money properly. So not necessarily that money will make you bad. That means knowledge is power. If your knowledge, you will know how to utilize anything and everything. Like that is what we are reading here, old age. Old age, the karmis, materialists, they become very morose. They become very unhappy whenever they see that their hair is getting white, their teeth are shaking, and there is this thing, their legs are, there is nervous weakness in the legs. They'll see, oh, I am finished. I cannot control now. I cannot possess now. So he's worried. And old age comes in, he's worried. And he struggles hard how to hide or how to circumvent, how to stop the signs of jara, old age, or how to hide. We don't want people to know that we are old, and slowly we become incapable, invalid. So the karmis find old age as very fearful, because they don't know what will happen in the next birth, and they don't know how much they have to suffer as old people, and they have to give up all their, they become dependent. No more they can remain as a boss, because they cannot remember, they cannot do things on their own, and they have to become dependent. but they are not used to that. So it is very fearsome situation for them. But for the devotees, old age is welcome, because they know how to utilize old age. When they are very active, the society is not leaving them. You know, like when young people become devotees, why at this age you want to shun the world and do something that is not substantial or worthwhile? Why you are attempting some theoretical thing? For them, devotional service is something abstract. Most of the people, the concept of God is abstract. Abstract means it is your personal opinion, it is your subjective opinion. I believe in God, I don't believe in God, I think Shankar is God. So this is called very abstract, because nothing can be proven. So people think it is a waste of time. Instead of pursuing God, you do something practical. You do some help to the others. Instead of giving this time to go to the temple and do some bhajans and some worshipping the deities, you give that, you serve the poor people, or you go and help downtrodden people, you help. Because for them, the spiritual life, topic of God, is a very vague thing. Even in the name of religion, except Krishna consciousness, there is no philosophy in any other religions. They don't have philosophy. No? Philosophy means it should be reasonable, it should be logical, and it should be practical. It cannot be dogmatic, sentimental, fanatical. People who are thoughtful, they cannot accept things dogmatic, sentimental, or fanatically. They cannot accept. Religion, which is a very subtle science, your gross sciences, your subtle sciences, your metaphysical sciences, that means nothing can be proven in metaphysics. Gross sciences means, you know, what you have read. You already did some degrees in gross sciences, which means that deal with matter. And there is what you call subtle sciences, the psychology, psychiatry, sociology, demographics, study of populations. So you don't know why people behave like that, why people get thoughts like that. They don't understand. So they only study trends, population trends. Majority people do that, so it is normal. If majority people don't do that, they say it is some abnormal. That means in their view, devotees are abnormal people. Abnormal, because you don't find people like devotees so many in this world. Like Krishna says, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, among thousands and lakhs of people, there may be one Krishna devotee. So generally Krishna devotees are seen as weird people. Why do these people don't want to marry? Why do these people don't want to make money? Why do these people they give up sleep? Why do they chant all day? What do they get? Why do they chant all day? Is it not boring, hackneyed, stereotyped, headless activity? They don't see that they are headless. they are doing repetitive activities, the devotees are advancing their consciousness. The aging, jara is there for everybody, for a karmi and for a devotee. The effects of old age are there for everybody. And they are advancing in age, and we are also advancing in age. And their intelligence is not steady, and they are not mature, because they are doing the same activities. Even when they are 60, 70 years old, attached to wife, attached to children, attached to petty things in life, nothing big, no detachment. And they are carried away by little things. And what did they learn in life? If you know what is temporary, what is permanent, then if you are mature, if you are advancing, you know, there's no point in holding on to temporary things. Let go. Then you are at peace. But even when you are 60, 70 years old, you are worried about your grandchildren, you are worried about this little thing, that little thing. You cry, you know, your day is full of duality. We don't know when you will cry, when you will laugh. So on the other hand, the devotees, they are also affected by old age, but they see it as a good excuse. See, now my body is not functioning, please leave me alone. Now my body is not functioning, at least now I should concentrate on my spiritual life. Let me prepare for death. I have spent 60 golden years of my life wasting for working for family and material gains. Now at least the last leg of my life, the last portion of my life, let me now attempt spiritual life, spiritual path. So devotees voluntarily, they give up everything. They give up, you know, their signing authority, their possession, and they just leave it to their children, and then they live freely, no anxieties, no worries, peaceful life, and progressive life. So here it is said that no one likes old age, but it is there, and old age is a good warning for everybody. There is a small story. One materialist is very attached and is very active, but by destiny he was meant to die early in life. He was meant to die when he was only 35 years old. So when he approached 35 years, suddenly he saw some very cruel, strange beings coming to him in the night. Yamaras, Yamadutas. And he got up. I thought it's a dream. So sleep and dream are finished. No, it's not a dream. Actually, they are there. He said, who are you? Why did you come here? I did not call you. I don't have any relation with you. Why did you come to my house? No, your time is over. We have come to take you to another place. Then he started arguing with them. No, it is very unfair. You did not give me any notice. You did not tell me. Now generally, whenever you have to give up your job, whenever you have to vacate a house, people give us notice. In 2 months' time, please vacate my house. In 3 months' time, you leave the job. We cannot be kicked out. But it is, and you are coming, you are saying that you are coming by the arrangement of God. How can God be so unreasonable? Even in material world, people give us time. So, because this is a story, all right. Yamaraj said, okay, I will come with a warning, will that be all right? Oh, that is very kind of you. Then I can say, okay. Then the Yamadutas left. And then another 10 years gone by. And this fellow's hair started turning gray, white. So one day again, Yamadutas knocked. He remembered the past incidents. Generally, middle of the night, no guests, nobody will come. If they are coming, they come with, no, we are coming. Our train is at midnight, please keep the... So he thought, no, they cannot be. Again, he remembered his past incident. Must be something, because intuition. Yeah, when death comes, we have some intuition. No. Generally, we'll all know. Like, you know, when you are driving car, when you are going on an event, God generally don't kill us just like that. You get little palpitation, you feel not good, and then you know that it's going to be a heart attack. People have premonitions, they call it. So this guy already... Yes, sir. Tell me, sir. So he thought, maybe that guy, that black, terrible guy, he may have come again. So fearfully he opened the door. And again they are there. Now we have given you 10 years time. Are you ready? No, 10 years are gone by, that is true. But what about notice? Don't you know notice means you tell me in advance. I'm going to come after this time, after on the third year I'm going to come in February. The second I'm going to come. Then that is called notice. So please, it is very unjust that you... Then all right. He said, okay. Then he went away and came back after another 5 years. By the time his teeth were dropping and he had glasses, you know, everybody can see how we wear glasses. Slowly the disturbances will come, and then finally you see that in the night time I have to wear glasses. Slowly, this is imperceptible. Time is sapping our energies in an imperceptible way. We don't recognize, just like our nails grow. Every time you look at the nails, you don't find any growth, but you see after a week. That means it is not suddenly it grows, but imperceptibly. Similarly, all changes in the body, they come insidious. That means without any notice, slowly it's taking over. And when somebody from outside, they come, they will immediately see, yeah. She has become fat, or he has grown weak, or old, because they are seeing after a gap. If you daily see, you don't notice. So now this time he has more changes, and then third time the Yamadutas came, and this time he said again, maybe you have forgotten, you have come for somebody else, my dear sir, because with you I have some agreement. He said he will come with a notice. Third time also. So then the Yamadutta told, we have given you many notices. No, I check my mail daily. No notice. Be honest. I did not get any notice. Then, the kind of notices we give, they are not in writing because you don't understand. If you give in writing, you don't. So actually, we make your body useless, weak. That means cut down, prepare. So then he told, when the hair grows, hair turns gray, understand you are getting old. When your teeth start moving and falling off, understand you are advancing. Then when your glasses, understand that you are an old man. Then when your legs start shaking, tremors in the legs, that means you are completely going to become bedridden. But we don't take these warnings, notices, as notices coming from Yamaraj, but we think we are smart. So when we don't see, we put on the glasses and we think, all right. When the teeth fall away, we put artificial teeth and still want to continue to eat. And when our legs shake and you cannot walk independently, you take a stick, you become a three-legged animal. No, generally two-legged animals, no-legged animals, four-legged animals. But man, funnily, he becomes a three-legged animal. He takes support of a stick to walk. So this is all because of ignorance. We shamelessly, we still try to feign youth and want to go on with the activities of the world. But how long that will go on? So what the devotees will do, devotees, before death comes, before old age comes, kaumare acharet pragyam dharman bhagavatmaha durlabham manusham janma adhruvam tad ardhadamapi. They know that we don't know, nothing is certain about future. They say, past, you bury it. Future, it is uncertain, so don't bother about it. But present, present is the real time. It is what you have in hand now. So devotees, understanding all this, from the very beginning, they want to utilize janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darsanam. Once you have this knowledge that everything is miserable, birth is miserable, disease is miserable, old age is miserable, and death is horrible and miserable. So devotees, in a material sense, they are very pessimistic. Even though they are very young, they have the capacity to enjoy, they have resources to enjoy, but devotees, they are very pessimistic. Between the cup and lip, anytime, anything. I was remembering, devotees were going to medical college and preaching in Mumbai, and that guy in the medical college who met the devotees, he was told all these things, and then their examination results came, and he stood first, so he became very jubilant. And then devotees met him, congratulated him, and then they told him, no, you should celebrate with the devotees. That way it is good for you. He said, no, just today you leave me. I want to be with my friends. And then I will think. And then that guy went, and then they went for a very grand party. And then they started drinking and dancing. And he vomited blood, and he died, that guy. And next day, devotees came to meet him and said, he is dead. It is such a thin difference between life and death. Anytime, anything. So devotees are very pessimistic about material progress, and they are very optimistic. I will get rid of all nuisance of this material miseries, and I can permanently solve it. So, knowledge is power. Every human being is potentially is a spiritual person, but because they don't have knowledge, they dilly-dally, they talk like that, they live loosely like that, and they take everything for granted, and they are not scary about old age and death. The fact about disease, old age and death, only when you face them, if a man is suffering, like we go to meet a suffering man in the hospital, really you don't understand what agony he is going through. No? For you it is like just paying a visit to him, courtesy visit, because your body is so energetic. You don't really understand. That's why it is said you have to develop a drishti, dukkha doshanu darsanam. You don't really feel that now, but you have to imagine what it means to be when I grow old. Like many times I remember, like whenever I feel musty, like immediately you remember, just imagine yourself to be an old man. If I'm an old man with hunchback and with a stick, will I be able to show that hilarious mood? No, it's not possible. So don't be fooled by the maya, the body. Body will tempt you. You can enjoy this, you can do this, you can get that. But you have an overall idea about life. You don't have to be inactive. You don't have to be gloomy, but you work for the real thing. Be enthusiastic. Be jubilant. No, devotees are jubilant. Oh, there is old age, there is going to be disease. What is there in life? No. Let's celebrate spiritual festivals. Let us have spiritual gatherings. Let us have spiritual fun. While doing that, you die, you attain Krishna. By having spiritual atmosphere, you die. You are not doing an unreal thing. You have transcended death. You have given up bodily concept. Like we are singing, we sing very joyfully. We dance in Krishna consciousness. Young people dance, old people also dance. And young people, they sing, and old people also sing, because they have transcended the body. They are in spiritual mode, so the old age doesn't bother them much. Whatever the movements the body permits, they just express their spiritual joy. It is not an activity on bodily platform. So this is what utilizing everything in for our spiritual advancement and for serving Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we will know how to utilize everything in the service of Krishna. Favorable, unfavorable, everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Garandara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.